The Caucus Economy, How Iowa Affects the Nomination.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. Central Time will take center stage this evening. Presidential caucuses begin in Iowa. This is just a first step in the long nominating process, but it does set the tone for the race, both politically and financially. Wayne Moyer teaches political science at Grinnell College in Iowa. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Professor Moyer, supporters of the Iowa caucus say one advantage of the caucus is that it gives less wealthy candidates a chance, that they can challenge candidates with deeper pockets because the Iowa race is more about meeting with people, shaking hands, that kind of thing. Is that true?
Yes, I think that it is. The nature of the state is such, with the smaller population and the less need for television advertising, which is very expensive, it does give candidates a chance who don't have quite the resources that others do. Particularly, say, with Rick Santorum, who didn't have very much money, who's rising very rapidly in the polls right now. And he spent, I think, something like 100 days in Iowa. And he would not have been able to do that in a larger state. He wouldn't have had the same kind of impact.
Now, Iowa has its own particular economy. It's got quite a low unemployment rate, and it's also a very rural state, and it's been a good few years for farmers. How is Iowa's economy factoring into the race right now?
I don't think that it is making a great deal of difference. I think the people in Iowa are sort of looking at the national situation as much as they're looking at the Iowa situation. I mean, we still have an unemployment rate of 6%, which is still pretty high. I haven't been able to tell how that it's helping candidates or hurting candidates, per se.
Wayne Moyer is a professor of political science at Grinnell College in Iowa. Professor Moyer, thank you.
Thank you.
BP is suing contractor Halliburton for the entire cost of the 2010 Gulf oil spill. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
This is the latest in BP's attempts to spread around the blame and the bills for the Gulf of Mexico spill. In the lawsuit, it holds Halliburton responsible for the failure of a cement lid placed over the blown-out deepwater oil well and thus the entire cleanup for the incident. That's estimated to cost more than $40 billion. Last week, Halliburton said BP hid information that could have helped prevent the disaster. Energy analyst Sarah Emerson says it's no surprise BP and Halliburton's legal teams are playing hardball.
I think it's what you have to do. It's due diligence to be sure that you're not paying more than your share.
But she says offshore drilling takes major partnerships, and legal battles won't ruin any chances for the companies to work together on current or future drilling.
They might be, you know, terribly antagonistic in court and then go out to dinner. I suspect there are other parts of both companies that are working together on a new project.
Last month, BP did successfully squeeze a settlement from another contractor involved in the spill. The company that made the failed blowout preventer paid BP $250 million. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Not sure about you, but the markets are feeling pretty good about 2012 so far. Asian markets rose. European markets are mostly up. Iran's currency, the rial, has fallen to a record low against the dollar today. That after President Obama signed a new round of sanctions against Iran's central bank. U.S. markets were closed yesterday, but they ended 2011 on a down note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 0.5%, closing at 12,217. That is 5.5% higher than where it started the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
A little later this morning, we'll get a manufacturing report card for December. More than 2 million manufacturing jobs were lost during the recession. Companies have started hiring again, but they want workers who are more highly skilled than the ones they laid off. So they're turning to local vocational programs for help. From the Changing Gears Media Project, Nyla Boodoo reports.
They are grinding and cutting.
Under the watchful eye of welding instructor Leo Suri, students are cutting through sheets of metal at Richland Community College in Decatur, Illinois. The school only has enough shop space for 12 students at a time. But this year, there's been so much demand for welding courses, the college began offering classes overnight.
We go from midnight to 4 a.m.
That's Richland's Douglas Brower. He's a vice president at the school. The college is building a new workplace training center that will allow it to more than double the size of its vocational classes. In the meantime, the midnight welding class is especially popular with workers coming off second and third shifts at nearby Caterpillar, maker of heavy construction and mining equipment. Brower says other local manufacturers are also looking for skilled workers.
Everybody seems to be in more of a hiring mode.
The jobless rate in American factories has dropped from a high of about 13% in January 2010 to less than 8%. But these days, manufacturers are looking for workers with sophisticated skill sets. That means not just more welders, but people with training in both mechanical and electrical engineering. One of the greatest needs is for machinists.
Tool number two is the 201 drill.
Symbol Job Training is a for-profit vocational school north of Chicago. It mostly teaches students what's known as computerized numerical control, CNC. It runs most machines on today's factory floors. In this class, students learn CNC programming. John Zawoyski says he hopes the course will help him get out of his current warehousing job.
I was making pretty good money in my last job, got laid off. I haven't been able to find that kind of pay anywhere else, so I got into the machining.
Zawoyski hadn't heard of machining until a counselor at the local employment office told him it could be a good career. And that's the problem with the employment pipeline, vocational instructors say. Most people may think there just aren't any jobs in manufacturing anymore. In Chicago, I'm Nyla Boudou for Marketplace.
And finally, the price of Powerball tickets is doubling. Now a chance at the multi-million dollar pot will cost $2. It's the first price increase in almost 20 years. On the bright side, the odds are better. Instead of a 1 in 195 million chance of winning, Powerball players will have a 1 in 175 million chance. So probably still not a realistic retirement plan. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
They spend millions on their campaigns, but believe it or not, GOP presidential hopefuls are getting a real bargain this time around.
We'll have these outside groups promoting specific candidates, and that really becomes an extension of the candidate's campaign.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Why campaigns are flush with cash. For now, that's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.